Moncrief on News Talk.
Aidan O'Connell, Declan Buckley are here to answer all your problems. They're keen to get out of the studio and start watching matches for the World Cup. Obviously. So,
as the CEO of FIFA, I'm dying to
present a medal to Donald Trump. My husband and I have been married for 5 years. We've no kids, but we're very happy and life is good. However, last week, I was putting away laundry when I found something in my husband's sock drawer that has, honestly, turned my life upside down. I found a vibrator. I was completely taken aback. We've never used sex toys like this during our time together. Anything I've ever heard about vibrators was to do with women. So I was utterly confused by my discovery. I confronted him about it, and he said he got it for us to use during intimacy to spice things up. But the vibrator is used. How do you know? In fact, it looks like it's had plenty of outings, unless he purchased a secondhand one. Now I can't stop worrying that he might be gay. How do I deal with this situation?
First of all, the first thing I want to say is Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Wave your vibrators in the air like you just don't care.
The second thing I'd like to say is let's not jump to conclusions, because you know there was a bit of a leap there. I don't know much about their domestic arrangement, but clearly it sounds to me like this woman was doing the laundry. Whether she always does the laundry, I don't know, but she was clearly putting away things in a very open space. Like the sock drawer seems like it's not exactly the most concealed place to hide something. You know, it's like putting it away rather than hiding it. So I don't think that this guy is necessarily really hiding this thing?
Did he want her to find it?
So I kind of feel like maybe he wanted you to find it. It's the way of starting the conversation about this, whatever. Now, the thing that perturbs me about this note is about how, for somebody who doesn't seem to know very much about sex toys, the woman knows it was you.
How do you know?
What?
Are there little notches on it?
What kind of vibrator?
Is it like, out of its packaging? Is that what you mean? Do you think it's a single use only? What do you think? What do you think this thing is? And what do you think you know about it? Is there
pubes,
stains, or something like that? Where was it going? What were they doing with it? I don't know. Look, anyway. All of this aside, the reality of it is that it's important in this instance to focus
maybe
on...
Maybe the battery was drained and she just jumped to conclusions.
That's a good point.
She just pressed the button, it didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Or maybe she doesn't realise that it has settings from like maybe, 1 to 10. So, you know, this is not really working. The battery
must be used.
She needs to kind of look at the facts here. She has like gone, and I can do this sometimes too, I will jump to any conclusion a story in my head. I think her saying that he's gay, I don't actually think for me it sounds like he'd be kind of more having an affair and using the vibrator, or he's having an affair with someone who has a vibrator and he left it in the sock drawer, or she left it there and he realised that she left there and he panicked and he put it into hot drawer. Because if
he's
she,
not
she,
a mastermind,
she clearly
is he?
Is doing the washing a lot. So where was he leaving it before?
Does he not wash his socks very often? This place is. It's all a bit like. The details in this make me feel like the problem is not about the sex toy. The problem is about the woman not understanding things and having good communication with her husband. I mean, look, at the end of the day, let's just say, yes, there's a sex toy that he was hiding for some reason. Mm-hmm. The next step isn't going to be, you know, what's going on? Are you gay? That's a bit of a leap.
I think it's a leap. And I don't think that is the case here. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't think she understands vibrators.
What they are.
They're made for. So I don't know. And look, he might have been curious. We don't know. He might be into, maybe he was trying it on himself. Like, we don't know. You can't judge these.
Exploration and whatever. Solo pleasure, let's call it that.
You don't know. But she will have to sit down and like...
Maybe he bought it and he thought, I'll have a go at this myself
I have heard of men buying vibrators for their partners, but obviously there has been like obviously a conversation between them. Now, he obviously has just kind of thought maybe he was doing something nice for her. And I, yeah, as you say, Sean, might have been trying it out himself. But now, like, you, like, she will have to sit down with him without jumping to the whole, you're gay.
Yeah, that, no, and that I, seems like a big stretch. Because
she look, just kind of jumped into that. Without.
I think, though, that, you know, first of all, obviously, they're like, as a toy or a sex aid or whatever, you know, there are a lot of people that use them, men and women use them and whatever it is. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily categorize them into any particular sexual orientation. And also, let's remember that even if the her husband has some kind of like same-sex attraction, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean he's gay. Actually, that means, you know, let's not forget about mm-hmm. bisexual people. And it doesn't necessarily have any reflection on their relationship.
Yeah, and don't shame
well.
Him for it, like, when you come to that conversation.
So
like,
it's all a bit...
Yeah, you have to
It's all a bit dramatic, isn't it? Yeah. So I think the reality of it is, though, look, aside from the bit, the secrecy is the bit that kind of, you know, might be a contamination in their relationship. And I'd say, look... Is it that he was genuinely hiding it, or is it that he put it there so that it would be within reach so they could have a conversation?
Maybe,
the next
yeah, because he couldn't bring it up. And like that, which would be quite common with Irish men who would be afraid to bring up that sort of thing with their partners.
So instead of like, and here's the one I had earlier. Literally.
I don't know. Yeah, this guy doesn't sound like a genius. No. So I think we can infer that from.
And I don't think they're in a crisis in the relationship. Like, I don't think she needs to be panicked about this. I think she just needs, this might open up more avenues, you know, in their sex life.
It might
be. It just opens up more communication lines, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think that she needs to approach the conversation that she has with him next mm-hmm. with, like, you know, with an open mind and curiosity rather than this kind of crazy blaming, you know, you know, don't, you're gay, Brian, you're gay.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of a bit melodramatic.
Yeah, it's a bit mad, yeah. She needs to have a really calm conversation about this, you know, and talk to one of her friends maybe about it and see.
Well, I think she should talk to him first. Yeah. I think, you know, find out what it actually, what's going on there. Does his story or his explanation sort of make sense?
Yeah.
Does
he have receipts?
Show me the receipt.
Would you keep the receipt?
But see, he'd surely have an email.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't think this man walked into a shop and bought a vibrator. I'd say he bought it online.
Okay.
I'd say it's all.
And is there anybody else in the house who's it could be? Is this a cover like, job? Or like, you know, do you have somebody else who's going to be there? You know, I'm just imagining it. I'm like writing a scene in Coronation Street or something.
But I just want to know, how did it end up in the sock drawer?
What else has he got in there? That's another question. Yeah. God knows what he's got in there.
I mean,
yeah, but have a conversation with them. Don't jump in and be like accusing him, and don't shame him, because he probably is a bit embarrassed now as well it, and she's probably not making it maybe any easier, you know.
And her own, let's call it her own ignorance, her own you know, innocence about this doesn't make him some kind of dark depraved character.
Look it up herself. Like, there's loads of articles out there now and great places you can go to find out more about vibrators and stuff. Yeah. I just would also like to know, how did you think it was used?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, because if she doesn't know anything about them, how did she know it was used?
Exactly. And she said a lot of use. How would you know that? They're made of plastic, aren't they?
Is it wear and tear? I don't know.
Look, what are they doing with the vibrators?
Yeah.
But when he does leave you for a fella, make sure you keep the vibration.
Yeah. Clean out your sock drawer on the way out, love.
Leave that.
Oh, God.
Stop. While I've always had a decent relationship with my in-laws, things took a turn after our recent marriage. Well, they weren't your in-laws before the marriage, obviously. My mother-in-law is an affectionate woman. She has been so welcoming to me. The first time we met, she insisted on giving me a big hug, even though I had gone in for a handshake. She's the type of older woman who will hold your hands as she speaks and tells you a story. She is just a lovely, tactile old lady, to be honest. However, ever since the wedding, I've noticed a marked increase in physical affection. Whereas before she would have kissed me on the cheek, now she plants one on the lips because she says, we're family now. But I wouldn't do that with my own mother, so I don't understand what she's talking about. It makes me uncomfortable, especially as she suffers from halitosis as a result of her ill-fitting dentures. So I mentioned it to my wife, but she says it's completely normal in her family and she laughs it off every time I bring it up. Any advice?
You see, yeah, this happens with a lot of people. So my mother had an off thing about people like hugging her. We weren't exactly a very tactile family. Now, she didn't mind me like giving her a hug and stuff like that, but like she'd always have a thing about like other people hugging her or like giving her a kiss in the cheek. And whenever she would see people like hugging someone else or like giving them a kiss in the cheek when they greet each other, her, she always just went, "They're definitely English." That was like she was like, "They're English." That's what they're
hands everywhere.
And she wants to that, but I used to see it happen to her. So I have one particular friend who always used to greet her, and she's like, her mom is American, and she comes over with the big hug and the kiss in the cheek, and I could always, whatever, my mother would always turn her face totally to the other side when going in. When she could see her going in for the kiss, like totally the other way, like, and then my friend would keep going for it. So I would advise this man, if you see, also, if this is an older lady, I presume her reflexes, now she might be, I presume her reflexes aren't exactly the fastest in the world. Now I am judging a bit prematurely here. But like, you have enough time to turn your face. And like, you're a younger man, you should be able to, I'd say, check out your reflexes, go to the doctor.
I think he's entitled to feel whatever way he feels about the situation. I think if he feels uncomfortable, then that's legitimate. And his wife's response is a bit dismissive, and I don't particularly like that. But I do think that this is a storm in a teacup because, look, I thought of a couple of things. As you were speaking there, I was remembering, being a young gay in Dublin. Like, this is obviously thousands of years ago, and there wasn't that many of us, but some of us were very flamboyant, and we'd greet each other with two kisses on the cheek, and the people at the other tables in whatever bars we were in would think we were French, but we weren't French or English. We were just, you know, consenting to a particular kind of greeting, and some people don't like it, and some people don't, you know, want to be involved in that kind of stuff. I'm also thinking about Oprah Winfrey, who famously has the best way ever in the whole world of dealing with somebody coming in for the hug. Now, she has her own reasons. It's probably because she's famous and people want to hug her all the time. It might be hair and makeup scenario where she doesn't want somebody messing up her look because they're coming in and they, you know, whatever. So when you'll see her, and then you'll never unsee it. When people come towards her, she puts both of her hands out and she catches both of their hands with her hands, and she almost kind of pushes them away, and she kind of shakes, woo, gives them a kind of a delighted shake, and then she pushes them away. And it is the most brilliant way of handling unwanted intimacy in that way. It doesn't have to be as dramatic or as fabulous as that.
Like, but shaking her, but shaking
yeah, shake the old lady. But like, you can't quite easily just turn your head.
I don't
let her near your mouth.
How is he letting her near the mouth?
Because
the family doesn't sound like it's going anywhere. And look, some families are like that. They're a lot more tactile, and they're much more huggy and stuff like that. He's not from a family like that, that's fine. And I don't think you'll ever get through them because that's the way they are.
Yeah.
But like, I don't understand how you're letting your mother-in-law kiss you on the lips every time. You can, there are physical, as you say, physical ways around this.
Like, they don't even need to get to the parts without having a discussion about it.
Yeah, it's a two-layer.
Turn your head.
If they're, say, a kissy family and kissing on the lips is the norm, and he's being kissed on the lips and suddenly he starts grabbing her hands and pushing her away or doing whatever.
Lifting her up.
She's going to go, "What's wrong with him? What happened?"
She might go to the door and say, what's wrong with John there?
And then
the answer should be, he's not as comfortable with kind of, you know, these kinds of plays.
Yeah,
and
you can make a joke and
that's fine. That's actually, and if people don't accept people's boundaries like that, then they're the ones with the problem. I mean, it might be weird to you and your own family culture, but that's not the right way to think about it. If somebody's not comfortable, that's their
thing.
And
as you say, the wife is quite flippant about it, which I don't like. She should be a lot more understanding. And like, if that was me and it was like, my partner kept getting kisses off my mother, I'd be like, ma'am, just stop. Do you know, like, you can make a bit of a lighter way of it.
It's
to
all
stop
about
it.
Comfort, though. It's about comfort. And maybe in time, they'll be much more comfortable that he'd be able to handle it in whatever way he feels. But at the moment, he's not comfortable enough to say what he really thinks. And he's not comfortable enough to take a halitosis fragrant mouth on the lips. So, I mean, he has to take into his own hands and he has to just his action.
Practice with someone. Like, say to your wife, like, try and kiss me and come practice
at
me. Come at me.
Practice
avoidance.
And try and turn your face.
Is it that much of a big deal? I mean, how often does he see his mother-in-law? Is it a daily occurrence?
You think he should take one for the team?
Yeah, but as long as she's not dropping the hand or slipping the tongue in her.
It's a slippery slope.
She's just a kind of a, you know.
That's
like, in the greater scheme of unpleasant things that we have to put up with in our lives, that's probably fairly far down the list.
Yeah, it is, but it is just a thing that you can get yourself out of there. I just say, like, it'd be fine if the wife is like, oh yeah, you know what, it's a bit much, I'll say it to her, but she's not, so I don't think you're going to get through to your wife there or the family. So you are, as we say, you're going to have to take it into your own hands here.
And I think
check your reflexes.
Still at the core of the whole thing though, I really believe that if you're not comfortable with something, you have to trust your own thing. You can't be going, oh, I'm not comfortable with it, but everybody else thinks I should be, so therefore I should do it. That's a really bad outlook. That's a really bad philosophy, and that gets into a lot of trouble, as I've learned.
Yeah, and when my mother used to be getting hugs off people, like, she would, like, you could see her, like, physically kind of recoiling, like, but she would kind of let them do it. It's not that she's telling them, don't hug me. She knew, like, not to be rude.
Yeah,
and then she might give a little pat.
Little pat and go.
Little
and then
pat at the back. And that'd be it. And it'd be over.
This is it.
The kissing on the cheek was a bit much for her. She'd just go.
Yeah.
To sweat.
Amber says, ah, lads, the mother-in-law would obviously be offended if he turned his head. You must have come across grandparents who get the hump when you ask them not to kiss babies. Maybe he needs to take the lead and give her a kiss on the cheek first. That's the solution to serial huggers or kissers is simple. Just mention the words cold sore or herpes. A polite feck off is also effective, says Tony. Yeah, that'll be great for family relations. In France, I sometimes bump into a bloke who I know quite well, but instead of saying hi or shaking hands like when two men meet in Ireland, they want to do the classic kiss on each cheek. I hate it, especially if they are hairy. I will never get used to it. I find it very gay. I usually say, let's just shake hands. Something to offend everyone there.
Well, yes. But actually, at the core of it, though, if he's not comfortable, I think that he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His backstory was a bit vulgar, but his actions were, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever about hugs and kisses, the worst is old women trying to clean my fully grown face with spit-soaked tissues.
Where are you going to get this kind of stuff?
How old are you?
Yeah, what is that? And what's on your face?
Yeah. Jesus. Children are taught when they are allowed to have boundaries when it comes to kissing or hugging, and this should be respected. Equally, adults shouldn't have to put up with others crossing their boundaries, says AD. My mother-in-law always kisses me on the lips, and I'm a female. We get on like house on fire, and while she first started this years ago, I was taken by surprise, but now I've noticed she doesn't do it to any other daughter-in-law. Obviously, I'm her favourite and very happy about it.
There you go. I mean, you take what you want out of the situation.
I live in Spain. People try to kiss me on both cheeks. I just refuse, especially because most of them are not even Spanish. What? And would that make a difference?
Because I'm not actually in Spain at all.
Oh, no. Just going back to the vibrator, lad. I had a similar experience with my ex. He said he bought the vibrator for us, but it was out of its packaging. It was a red flag. Turns out he'd used it with other women and he was cheating. He also bought us a brand new vibrator, but thought the exact same one for his other girlfriend who he was cheating on me with, like it was a 2-for-1 special. If there's no history or discussion, or if it's out of its packaging, it's a red flag.
Okay, so that's the theory about the possibly having an affair.
Yeah. Though somebody else says, you're such an immature bunch. Of course he could be gay. What's all the denial about? Yes, why are you in denial, Declan? you're a despicable lot and I could never support your opinions, yuck. Okay. We're not actually, it's not like a committee here. You don't have to support our
Well,
our
I
things.
Put my opinion through a committee and AI.
And AI.
I feel like I'm a member of a political group or something.
Oh my gosh, Sorry about that.
That's sorry that we've offended
you. You both lost a vote there from whoever that person is.
I've never said that the guy couldn't be gay. In fact, what I said was, is that it was stupid to make the jump just because he had his because I actually pointed out that, you know, he might be bisexual is what I said, so if anybody's being homophobic, it's you.
He might have a side hustle in repairing vibrators that he hasn't told her about.
And as we said,
like a clockmaker course,
that's
he's
kind
on
of what it is. Yeah, he's fascinated by, you know, how they work.
And as we said to that person, is that he could be gay, he could be bisexual, we do not want him to be shamed. No. And he might be trying to work through something himself as well, you know. So you don't, as you say, don't jump into.
But there's loads of straight guys who, you know, do stuff that you might think is gay. And I don't mean with men. I mean that, you know, just kind of
society
stuff.
Might.
You know, it's all about, you know, putting things in boxes and going, that's for that and that's for that. And I go, I reject that.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd have such roar over vipers.
Anyway, third question. This is quite long, actually. I have a major wedding dilemma. Desperately need a neutral perspective. My fiancé and I are getting married at the start of July. Because we wanted something intimate, we planned a very small wedding, almost COVID-era numbers, with just immediate family and a handful of close friends. The issue is my parents, who live over in England. The last time we visited them, it was tumultuous, to say the least. There were some serious attacks on my character, which led to months of functional radio silence between us. Despite the tension, we wanted to do the right thing. We sent them an invite. Instead of talking to us, they went ahead and booked their flights with absolutely zero consultation with me, my fiancé or her parents. In calmer years, sorting out the travel together was never an issue. So I strongly suspect that this was a deliberate move to freeze me out of the planning entirely. To make matters worse, they booked their return flights for the morning 2 days after the wedding, so we don't even have the full weekend together. By doing this, they've completely missed and unwittingly uninvited themselves from another important religious ceremony planned for our child. It's not committed to yet, of course, but we will probably just plough on without them. We have a house big enough to host them, and I've officially offered them our guest room. However, knowing their history, I'm terrified they're going to weaponize this. I can already hear the passive-aggressive comments about being a burden, or them playing the martyr about how they don't want to be under our feet. To cover my bases, I also offer to help them book and pay for a nice boutique hotel nearby if they prefer their own space. No matter what I do, I feel stuck in a complete double bind. If they stay with us, there will be tension. If they stay in a hotel, they'll claim we kicked them out. On top of it all, we're dealing with the logistics of moving house just a few weeks after the ceremony. And my fiancé is stressed to the hazard trying to arrange boarding for our dogs for the weekend of the wedding. We're having the wedding in the west of Ireland. We both live and work in Dublin County. We're both incredibly upset by the total lack of communication. And I know that when the dust settles, they will somehow spin the narrative to make us the bad guys. How do I handle this double bind without letting them ruin our week?
Well, there's a lot in there. And a lot of what is in there, I feel, is projection and kind of scenarios that may or may not happen. And I think the first thing to do, it's really important to not try to solve problems that haven't yet arisen. And a lot of the time, problems that are not arising kind of come up when you're stressed. So I think that what you need to do is to realize that the time that you're in right now is a very busy, hectic, stressful time. There's, you know, as well as your wedding, you've also got a house move and another family, like a new kid by the sounds of it. So there's a lot going on. I think trying to control a narrative rather than trying to control planning is difficult. You're not going to be able to control the narrative in the way that you want to. Your parents will decide whatever their reality is about whatever is happening, regardless of what you're trying to do, particularly if there isn't open conversations about it.
Yeah.
You haven't said, given them all the information. You're talking, one of the things you said that I thought was a bit peculiar was they have unwittingly uninvited themselves from an event that we didn't tell them was happening. And you're kind of holding them responsible for something that
they didn't know about
because you're trying to hold all of the cards for yourself, probably for legitimate reasons. And that's all fine because, again, I do believe, though, in this whole scenario, what you've done is actually okay. You've invited these people to your wedding. You've told them what is happening most of the time. And you've allowed them to be involved. And I don't think that anybody would be angry about that level of involvement.
Yeah. And like they say, like double bind, which means that every like
way you look,
every way you look at it is going to be bad. And now you're spending your whole time in the run up to the wedding trying to make this magic third option appear, which is that everything will be fine, which probably won't happen. And you are trying to control this narrative. But like one of the best things about being an adult, which is very hard and it can be hard to kind of even as an adult to step away from your parents, and if you've had kind of that kind of, it sounds like quite a toxic relationship that they have, it's quite hard to get out of that hole. But like when you're an adult, one of the most liberating things you can do is separate yourself. So like one of the things they could do here is, look, right, they're coming to the wedding, as you say, they probably won't be there for the event that you didn't tell them about yet. There's nothing you can really do about that there, so like just leave it flown out. There's
and
nothing you can do.
Consciously, that's what you wanted anyway, because if you didn't mention it to them,
why
didn't you mention this to them? So that's so that aside. That I, you know, whatever. They're coming to the wedding. This sounds like passive or aggressive remarks aside. It sounds like what they've done is they've said, we don't want to bother them. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to book our plans. We're going to be there, and we're going to leave. We've been there. We've done the deed. That sounds like it's exactly what you wanted as well.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds like everything is kind of working out the way that you wanted to. And the only way that's going to ruin it is if you fantasize something that, isn't happening happening.
And they're spending a lot of their time now, instead of thinking about their ceremony and trying to enjoy that, they're thinking
focus
about what happened and the fights that they're going to have. Yeah, exactly.
Your event.
Yeah. Your own
and having
there.
Fun.
And have fun. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds almost like she wants her parents to be different people. But they never will be.
So you have to accept that.
Yeah.
And also it sounds like subconsciously they're allowing these people's drama to become the main event in their own
day.
It can be a sideshow if it has to be, but don't even allow for that.
About the hotel and seeing the house, whatever, let them. This is obviously a pattern of behaviour over years, so this is something you're used to, so you kind of need to go into it with
an
idea.
And it's digging
like,
up old sores and it's kind of, you know, whatever past stuff.
So should they opt for the hotel for the parents?
I'd say give them two options, like you can get the hotel or you're welcome to stay here. So then you get every option, so they can hit back at you with that you haven't done enough here because you've laid it all out.
Yeah. Somebody's texting in to say just bloody call them.
That's what I always feel. That sometimes you know, in trying to not have your own feelings hurt or hurt somebody else's feelings, people avoid having conversations.
Yeah.
And I think you should approach this conversation. First off, don't go in apologetic. Just go in like you're organizing an event and going, I just need to know what you're thinking. What would make you happiest, this or this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's the conversation.
And it sounds like you're looking for validation off your parents here. And unfortunately, you actually
now's not the time.
Looking for validation really from anywhere. It doesn't matter if they're family, friends, work, anywhere. It never ends well.
Yeah,
you only have to validate yourself. You're never going to get validation from your parents by the sounds of it. So try and block that
or
out and enjoy your day.
I'd say those parents are gay. That seems to be the answer to everything today.
That's the only way. Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Happy Pride Month.
Welcome to the Under the Rainbow.
Yeah. Hey, Eugene and Declan, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.